What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 447, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that keeps the podcast on going. We're getting close to 500.
I know. We're getting up. We were just at 400. Like,
I know. We're almost about a year ago. 500. So, yeah, cool. That is, of course, my esteemed co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Esteemed, huh?
Yeah, sometimes.
I had to throw on a long sleeve shirt today because, like, it's May, like the beginning of May, and I've been out in like shorts and, you know, t-shirts, but it's been like overcast and it was rainy today, and it's just kind of like chilly.
It was rainy. You know, there's this big tech event this weekend, and it like never rains in SoCal, and it was like gloomy and rainy both days of this big event. Man. But yeah, I thought we weren't live for a second because the StreamYard was just like, you're not live. Try again. And I was like, wait, are we live or are we not live?
I think we're good.
We appear to be live, so that's a good thing. But yeah, so this past weekend was one of the coolest events that I've been to, SoCal Tech Fair. We posted about it. I'm sure you've seen it all over social media if you follow any of the creators that were there. Just an awesome event, put on by Jace Two Cents, iBuyPower, Height, and then there were a ton of other brands that were there. Intel was there, AMD was there, Asus was there, CyberPower PC was there, Pulsar was there. Who else was there? There was like a ton of people there.
Well, and you kind of worry sometimes. Every now and then you'll hear these stories about like the Mr. Beast event that happened in Vegas that didn't actually happen really. Like it was a total letdown.
Yeah. Or
like these Minecraft events for kids and people show up and it's just like a total scam, right? Thankfully, yeah. It sounds like this was nowhere near that.
This was such a cool event because we're in a time right now where like getting PC hardware is hard. One, because of availability, two, because of like price and like built and like, you know, there is like uncertainty when it comes to like your income and things like that. So people aren't necessarily inclined to build a new PC and all that kind of stuff. So there are some really cool things going on. I think one of the coolest things going on at this event was AMD. I don't know how many they had. They had a lot. If you went to their booth and you brought any old CPU, could be Intel, could be AMD, any old CPU, they gave you a new, I believe, 9700X and a B850 motherboard.
Just gave you.
Yeah. Yeah. So if as long as you brought an old CPU, doesn't matter. And
was this notated like ahead of time? Or was
yes.
this just like
so okay. Jay put out a video maybe like 2 days before and he did say that.
Wow.
And I did bring a CPU to do it, to make a video to give to somebody, but they ran out. I wanted everybody who actually needed a CPU to get what I mean? But I did bring one to make a video to then give it to somebody, but they ran out. But I think that was super cool. Like as soon as people got in, because we were allowed in before everybody else got in, and then everybody lined up at the AMD booth. Like everybody lined up.
Yeah.
So that was super cool. On top of that, Intel was like giving out ARC graphics cards, NUX, like all kinds of stuff. They were just like giving out, which was really, really cool. And then Jay had essentially a yard sale, and there was a lot of stuff there and a lot of like really unique things that like maybe only reviewers get in like super high-end motherboards. Like again, when you review a motherboard, you review it and then it just goes right back in the box, right? So all of this hardware, graphics cards, iBuyPower was selling graphics cards, Height was selling stuff, all, you know, at discounted prices. So it was like,
that's cool.
If you were in need of new hardware, this was the place. This was the place to go. And I think that was the coolest thing about it. There's so many people came to get deals on PC hardware and different things. So I think that was one of the really, really, really cool things about the events. And then every booth essentially had like a raffle or something going on as well. So a lot of giving back to the community. There were panels. There were some really cool events. Like they had like hundreds of old non-working motherboards, and they had a contest where you could stack these motherboards up. which was pretty cool. So let me find some. So they had like all of these old motherboards, a ton of them. And you could essentially like stack, like that was the contest to like stack them up. And then you could win stuff by doing that. There was, like I said, there was a lot of really cool things going on at this event. And if you lived in SoCal, it was definitely worth going to.
Yeah.
Even just like for the, like you could bring any old CPU and get a brand new one. Intel posted on social media, like the oldest CPU, or AMD posted, they like the oldest CPU they got was like an i386 that somebody brought in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. And like I said, it didn't have to be working. It could be broken. Like it didn't matter, you know? So that was super cool. So like what else happened at this? A lot of creators were there too. John Tech, who we've had on this podcast, was there. Trisha Hershberger was there. Of course, J2Sense was there. Gutsy Aiden was there. Austin Evans was there. Hall of Tech was there. Like there were so many cool people there too. So if you were fans of any of these people, you could hang out with them. The Poets was there. There's a lot, like I said, a lot of cool people there. I only went on Saturday, but I heard it was great on Sunday as well. And I really hope that this event continues, because it brought, like I was driving down. So it was held at iBuyPower's warehouse, which we got to do a behind the scenes kind of like walkthrough, which was really cool as well. But it was held at their warehouse, and then you drive down and it's like in this industrial area. And I was like, wonder how many people are going to be at this thing. And I showed up about a half an hour before it opened, and you driving by and the line just like went around the block. Wow. I mean, there were a ton of people excited for this event. So definitely cool to be a part of. And like, obviously shout out to iBuyPower Height and J2Sense for inviting us, because it was a lot of fun. Cool.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah, no 3D printing stuff there, Ryan, for you. So
that's all right. Okay.
Yeah, but I think they might have had a 3D printer for sale, maybe. I think they did. I don't remember. But yeah, like I said, lots of cool stuff. I hope they continue to do it. I got to meet the Liquid House people in person. They had a build there, which is really cool. I got to meet PC Works, who's another modder. He actually lives literally 5 minutes from me in San Diego, which is kind of crazy as well. So yeah, a lot, like I said, lots of super cool stuff at SoCal Tech Fair.
He called out Asus. Don't you worry, he did.
Asus was there. I got to see JJ at Asus. I didn't even know he was going to be there, but it was great to see JJ. It's always good to see JJ in person, you know. Yeah. They had a booth showing off some cool stuff, and next to their booth was, I forget the name of the game, but we were talking about this game weeks ago, Ryan.
Right, when we wanted to find
we were looking for a real-time RTS, and I was just like over there talking to JJ, and then the guy was like, do you want to try this game? And I was like, oh, what game is it? And it was the game that we were thinking we were going to get, and he gave me a full rundown, and it gave me a discount code for the game and stuff like that, because it is available on Steam now, and he was telling me all about it. He's like, we want it to feel like StarCraft, but have Warcraft Stormgate. Elements. Stormgate. Yeah. They were there with Asus. It was, like I said, it was such a cool event. Lots of stuff going on. I had so much fun. It was just like cool to hang out with, like, I feel like when you're at those events, those are like your people, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like one of the many perks of being on that coast in that area, right?
Yeah, well, that's like
to these events and
that's one of the reasons so many people are headquartered out there. I kind of moved. Well, one of the driving factors of me moving to this area was to be able to go to more events like that. And it was really cool to see everybody and talk to everybody and do all of that. So yeah, really, really, really cool event. So again, shout out to J2Sense, Height, and iBuyPower for putting it on. And of course, everybody else was there. Asus, CyberPower, Intel, AMD. Like it was just an awesome event.
That's cool too, that like they allowed CyberPower to be there, right? Like
I was kind of surprised. CyberPower
are like competitors, but it's cool that they, you know, it's a community thing, right?
Yeah, that was like the whole thing of the event was like community. It wasn't like we're competing, or, you know, it was just like we're here to give back to the community. maybe tell some people about our products, give away some stuff, and just like be there. And it was it was really, really cool.
That's cool.
Also got behind the scenes at iBuyPower. We got to see their whole warehouse, got to see their studio where they make all of their content, got to see everything. And there was like boxes and boxes of graphics cards. And it was like, And then they had like this old hardware section, like stuff that's like just super, and there were some really old processors there, some really, really old graphics cards. Like,
what do they keep that stuff for? Just for,
I like, think they just like
posterity or whatever.
Yeah,
or
I think they just like kind of keep some of the older stuff.
Yeah.
But it was, there was some really, really, really interesting hardware that was there, and they also talked, like, told us some horror stories about getting systems back. That have like bugs and roaches in them and stuff like that, that they, you know, get in. But we got to see their testing, like where they do all the tests before they send the systems out, where they assemble everything, all that kind of stuff, which is really, really cool. So, so it was, like I said, very, very cool event. And like I said, I hopefully it continues every year and gets bigger as well. This was kind of like a first run of it. So maybe next year it's in a bigger place. More companies are there. It'd be, you know, it was really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's what I did this past weekend. So lots of fun there. But we also got some reviews done this week. So we'll jump into our reviews. Guys, we do have our show notes page here too, if you guys do want to follow along. That has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. Links to everything. So if you want to click through and get more information, it is all going to be right there. But we will start out with our reviews in the Thermaltake TR100 mini tower. And we saw a row of these at CES back in January. And finally got my hands on one and built a system in it. And I have to say that I think you would really like this system too, Ryan, because
I liked this when we saw it.
Because, okay, so cool. When it comes to mini ITX, you have like essentially, well, there's the crowd that wants it as small as possible, right? Like the 13 liter, real small, super small form factor, right?
Right.
And then you have like people like me who like, maybe I want a small system, but I want it to be cooled efficiently. I want a little bit more space in there to work around, because if you've ever done a build in a mini ITX case that's like super small, it is a pain.
You got to think about when you put stuff in. Right,
like sometimes
order of operations can be,
and then like if you like miss something or forget to connect something, then you have to take everything. It can be a pain. So this case is their sort of new small form factor mini ITX case. Has the, I call it the external GPU enclosure look, more of like a rectangular kind of look to the case. We have the white version here. Like currently is available white, black, blue and matcha green. They have a couple other colors, some like neon colors that will be coming later. But the cool thing about this case is that it's incredibly functional and it's just slightly bigger than your normal mini ITX case. And there are a couple of reasons for that. The one of the biggest reasons is that in the top section of the case, you can actually fit a full-on 280 millimeter radiator in the top. So this top section right here, this is a cooling bracket that does come out as well. So that's one of the reasons this is bigger. Second reason, so it can support larger graphics cards. So you can do a full-on three slot. So you can see you can fit a three slot graphics card there. And I believe up to 380 millimeter in the graphics card slot. And the entire graphics card slot section itself is fully removable. So there's a bracket here. You can take this whole thing out if you want to. I didn't need to in my case, but this is going to fit pretty much your modern graphics cards. So that's one thing that's nice about it. Has a built-in riser cable, so you can connect your graphics card no problem. Has a GPU support bracket on the inside as well. Supports SFX and SFX L power supplies. There's the bracket right here. That's also removable, so you can get everything installed. And they don't block the back of, they have like a cutout here in the bottom, you can see. So all these small cases have this extension cable. You can see, let me bring it on the other side. So where is it? So you have your power extension cable that, so you can connect power to the outside. And a lot of these smaller cases, they have that, but then they block off the rest of the power supply, meaning that it's mounted in the case and you can't access the power button. Cause sometimes you need to do like a real power cycle by pressing the power button.
Yep.
Right. And you don't have access to that. This case, they have a cut out the bottom, so you can still access that, like a physical power button on your power supply, which is nice. So I really like that. Your motherboard goes here, of course, cooling at the top. This also does support their LCD. So we took a look at that LCD when we reviewed the tower cases, and it's the same SKU. It's the same LCD that they have, and it fits right in the front. So this bracket that's right here, they provide one that has the cutout for the LCD if you want to add the LCD. The LCD is optional, so it doesn't come with it, but you can get it for additional price. But yeah, and then on the front you have two USB 3.0 Type A ports and a Type C as well. There is no other mounting options for cooling. There's a ton of ventilation. You know, you have like ventilation on each side of the case here. You have ventilation on the top and bottom and on the front, but there is no other placement for fans besides the top of the case. So something to keep in mind there. You can see all the ventilation on the back of the case as well.
Yep. I think that's okay, right? You're getting a little more space and room for a decent amount of cooling already, right? You start adding any more options for cooling and you've got a case that's just no longer really a mini ITX.
Yeah. I like I said, when it comes to these small cases, it's like you have to kind of pick and choose.
Yeah.
What you want. If you want a fully decked out mini ITX, it's going to get a little bit bigger. And I think this is kind of like the biggest you can, I mean, you can go a little bit bigger, I guess, but it's that good size, right? I mean, Thermaltake even makes a suitcase where you can put this in if you wanted to travel with it, which is kind of funny at the same time. But yeah, so, and you can see that cutout for where your power supply goes down here too. Like I said, to give you access to it if you need to do like a hard reset. Building in this is quite easy because you do get that just a little bit more space, right? So putting in our motherboard here, you know, and then you connect the riser, and the riser wraps around to the opposite side of the case and connects just like that. And then, you know, power supply mount, take it out, put in your power supply, mount it in there, connect it, no problem. So power supply is in there. And then your graphics card, you can see it just goes in. I didn't have to take the entire bracket out, but if you had a larger graphics card, you can easily go ahead and do that. You know, so you get that as well. I installed the AIO, as you can see. Really no issues with this as far as installation. And again, I know the pains of installing mini ITX in certain cases, and this one really was not a pain at all. And one thing that's really nice about this too is, Ryan, I'm sure you've done this well, maybe not because you test in a big system, but like the AIO is an AMD AIO, and you have to put the little clips on each side.
Oh yeah.
And like in this small of a case, the bottom is kind of like not a right lot of room. Here is kind of hard to access, but the entire bottom of the case comes off, so you can actually access that. So like where I took this picture right here, that's where I'm connecting it. And this is the bottom of the case that where I have the panel off. So you can still get access, and that allows you to connect things down here as well. Like it's really well thought out for a builder, like for somebody who's actually building, not like, oh, they're just going to build in it once. It's not a big deal. Yeah. Like
it's those actually cars where you find out, like in order to do an oil change, you got to take the whole motor out, right? In order to put the CPU cooler on here, you can just take this panel off and get access to it easily. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, so here's what the build looks like. I could have cleaned up the cables just a little bit better, but it, like I said, any of these systems, it is kind of like you're kind of crunched in there, but it's nice that you get the cooling of the 280 millimeter AIO. And as you can see, you do get quite a lot of ventilation, and the top in the two side panels, they both have removable filters as well. So you can easily clean this out if you wanted to. But yeah, like I said, it's a good case. I was, like I said, every time I get one of these, I'm like, is this going to suck to build in or not? And this was actually quite easy to build in. And for me, that's one of the biggest things. Secondly, it does look quite nice on your desk. Like I said, you get all of the different colors to choose from. You can put the LCD in it if you want. The AIO support is great as well if you're somebody who's really like concerned about cooling. Cooling was pretty good overall. Now, I only tested with an older 3700X, so not the most high-end CPU, but the temperatures were good inside. No issues there. And yeah, like I said, I really like the case. Gave it a 9 out of 10. It's $149.99. I think that is slightly higher than what it launched at just because we have tariffs and things like that going on. But it's not a bad case overall. Like I said,
I really like the ventilation and option in the front of this case, because so many of these small cases are just a solid panel up front. And I like the ability to either add a fan there or just take advantage.
You can't add a fan.
Like, you've got some passive airflow there, right? Which is nice. So
yeah. Oh, the chat's going on. I didn't even see the chat. I never look at the chat.
You never look at it. That's right.
I feel like I need to have my iPad here and have like the chat so I can see it, because I never look at the chat.
No, yeah. JJ was just saying, you can fit a lot of GPUs in here. Length is fine. Thickness is what you've really got to worry about,
though. Yeah, and they have all the
keeping that in mind.
Thermaltake has all the specifications as far as length and thickness of your graphics card listed in the specs. Yep. We did put that in the review as well, so you can see your max lengths and limitations. 70 millimeters on the width. And the length is 360 millimeters. CPU cooler height is 68 millimeters. So all that's listed, which is good. So just always just check, if you have a specific GPU in mind, a specific CPU cooler in mind. Because again, just like last week, you reviewed the AIO with the big curved screen on it. Like, right, you want to check the heights of all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
If you're thinking about using this case. But overall, it's a solid case.
Cool.
So yeah, check out the review if you are interested. And then I also took a look at, I swear I had it here. Hold on.
You do this all, you're like,
I swear I do it all somewhere. The time.
I was going to bring it to the show.
I don't, I do have it. It's right here. I thought I had it. So this is the Patriot Viper PVP30 portable SSD. Now, this looks like a flash drive and essentially is the size of a flash drive. What's cool about it is that it's USB-A, but it's also USB-C.
I like that click too.
Yeah, and this is not plastic. This is metal. That's it. Like, I have another one, which I'll show you. I have this one. And this one is made of plastic. This one is made of metal. One, it's gonna protect it better. Two, metal, because we have a fast drive here. Metal is gonna, of course, help with your heat and everything like that. And another thing I like about this one compared to the other one is the actual type C connector. Hold on, let it not get on my eyeballs. There it goes. The actual type C connector is just slightly longer, because this one, the type C is shorter. Ooh, and if you're trying to connect it into certain motherboards with IO shields, it doesn't want to go in all the way.
Or like a modern iPad or iPhone that's got a case, right?
Yeah.
You might have to worry about that too.
So this, like I said, it is technically a portable SSD, and it's 1000 megabytes a second, and it will work with pretty much any type of device because you have type A and type C. So that's your PC, your Mac, cell phones, portable gaming consoles. It's going to work with everything. And I like it quite a lot. One, because they sent me the 2 terabyte version. So this is 2 terabytes in this little thing that you could just carry in your pocket. 1,000 megabytes a second means that it's definitely fast enough to be an editing drive, like a portable gaming drive. Mm-hmm. You could run OSs off of it. You can do all that stuff in this little drive. And pretty decently priced too. So as far as pricing goes, you can get it in 512 gigabyte, 1 terabyte, 2 terabytes. And those pricing is, let me just bring it up for you guys. So the pricing, 512 gig is $45.99, 1 terabyte, $72.99, okay. 2 terabyte is $132.99. So about around the same price as current portable SSDs, USB 3.2 Gen 2. But I just love the size and it's just so easy. And again, because it's, I don't have to worry about cable either. So I don't have to worry about a specific cable or anything like that. Supports Apple ProRes if you want to use this with your phone. Like, I don't know. What else would you want, Ryan?
Did you check any thermals? JJ was asking, you know, could be.
Yeah. So during our testing, no thermal throttling on this at all. When I usually test with ADA 64, or we test with AutoDisk Benchmark. And typically when we see thermal throttling, we'll be like, we'll do this test. And like right here at 12 megabytes, if we get a thermal throttle, which we've seen on a lot of internal M.2 SSDs without heat sinks over the years, it will start to throttle. But yeah, no issues. I mean, it gets hot, but no thermal throttling issues. I think that's the big thing. But yeah, you're right. This is pretty compact for an SSD solution. But
well, that metal body, like you said, helps, right? Just well, the passive dissipation. If you threw that into like a plastic case, you could possibly end up, you know.
Yeah, it would be interesting because this one from Kingston, I tested a while back. It would be interesting to test these both and see how temperatures go between the two. Yeah. But overall, it is, like I said, it's a nice little drive. Having 2 terabytes, I mean, again, I know we talk about like portable SSDs, like you can get something like this in a 2 terabyte as well. But just like the form factors are just different, right?
Like yeah, that used to be like 16 gigs in your pocket, right? In that little smaller one. Now it's terabytes of space.
Yes, 2 terabytes, and it's fast. It's 1,000 megabytes a second. And again, you can get something this size that's 2,000 megabytes a second, right? And we're going to get USB 4 drives coming that are going to be even faster. But still, just the form factor for me is the biggest thing. Because even though this is tiny and you can fit this in your pocket, this is just like, I don't know. For me, it's just much more convenient. So yeah. So I really like it. Prices are good, and I gave it a 9 out of 10 and our recommended award. So if you're interested in something like that, I think it's really good execution. And I think the biggest thing for me too is also the quality. Asus says normally most designs have a 2-chip design. Yeah, they have a single chip design that has the PCIe M.2 interface and the USB controller on a single chip. That's how they're able to get it that small.
Cool.
But yeah, like I said, I gave it a 9 out of 10 and our recommended award. And I'll be taking this to Computex because it's super small. And just have all my files ready to transfer between things real quickly. So check out that review if you guys are interested. Case Mod Friday, we have a build from Hardline Nexus. And I'm excited to see some of his builds at Computex too. I know he has some builds coming to Computex. Oh, nice. And this is his Level Up Expo build. Of course, the build he did for Level Up Expo. And he's been doing a handful of builds in this. I think he designed this open air chassis. I want to know your thoughts on this since you're the water cooling guy. Like, how do you like this sort of open air chassis that really like displays the motherboard?
Yeah, it's the chassis design isn't my favorite.
Okay.
I don't know. And it's it's straightforward. I don't know. This isn't my favorite build by any means lately. As always, I can appreciate like the quality and craftsmanship that goes into the stuff. It's just like not a design that I'm super hyped about. I do like the like 4-fan kind of grill, or not grill, but like whatever you want to call it,
placement there. Yeah, whatever you want to call
it, just
it.
The housing, right? Yeah, that looks like it's possibly like a 3D printed or you know milled design. If that's like milled aluminum, you got some cost there probably associated with it, but it looks cool.
I like this one. It's kind of just simple and just kind of, I feel like,
straightforward.
Like, yeah, I feel like JJ would appreciate this one because this would be like a case to show off a motherboard, right? Like, so if you're, you know, that would kind of be what you would be showing off right there would be the motherboard.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, show off the components as opposed to like wild build or, wild bins and just like crazy big like distro plates, right? You've got a distro plate up top, but
yeah. I do think too, this would look quite nice on your desk, right?
Yeah. It's being probably pretty big. It looks like it's pretty tall.
Yeah. And this, I mean, there's what, 3140s, maybe 3120s or 4120s. I mean,
four. Yeah.
So it's decently big, but I still think it would look quite nice on your desk. Or if you had like a longer desk, you could have it sideways.
Oh, so sideways,
So you could see the board. I like this. So shout out to Hardline Nexus for this. Of course, we have his page linked and everything. But yeah, I like this one. I think it's just simplistic. I'm looking at my like all RGB and all this stuff, and I'm like, be nice.
I was looking at mine the other day, and I had some software that was giving me some issues, and I was like, you know, like maybe I just don't need all this RGB anymore. Maybe I just go with a case without even a window next time. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But then you look at it, or someone else comes over and looks at it, and they're like, "That's your computer."
Anytime somebody comes over here, they're like, "That's a computer," and I go, "Yeah."
Yeah.
So here's what happens. It's either my monitor, because it's a 49-inch monitor, or it's my system. And if, like I said, they're like, "That's a single monitor?" I'm like, "Yeah." They're like, "Wait, that's your computer?" I'm like, yeah. That's usually what happens. It's kind of funny. Yeah. But yeah. So again, shout out to Hardline Nexus for that. We'll move on to news. Some really interesting stories. And stories, one story that I lived through the entire experience of this story, and it's there was a lot of drama when certain things happened when it came to this, and some other kind of interesting things as well. So one, RTX 5090D, that's the specific RTX 5090 that's sold in China, so NVIDIA can get around the China ban. Well, it looks like that's ending. RTX 5090D sales to China to be fully halted by Q2. It seems like obviously this current administration is a lot more strict on what we talk about, tariffs and other things, and this is probably a lot to do with that. Do you think that, like, there was, what was the name of that company? We talked about it a couple times. There was like a GPU company out of China.
Yeah.
Because if this can't be sold,
right,
are other cards besides the 1590D sold in China? I don't even know.
I don't know what all your options are.
But I think maybe this is because this is the card that they use for like AI data center and all that. Yeah. So maybe that's the reason. But yeah, if this becomes like a permanent thing and they can't get higher end GPUs, they'll
come up with their own, right? Like,
that's why that company came out. I forget the name of the company.
Right. Yeah.
We talked about it. So yeah, it's kind of interesting to see what's going to happen. And if this is going to be like a big hit for NVIDIA, right? Because they have to sell.
How large is that market, right? I'm sure it's large enough. Otherwise, they wouldn't make a card specifically for that market, right?
Yeah. So we'll have to see. I think my first thought when I saw the story is how big of a hit will this be to NVIDIA? But they're obviously doing it.
I think so much of their income now is like AI and data center anyways. This is related, right?
This is a card that they use over there for that. Sure, maybe. Sure. I don't know. It's interesting that this is happening. So, well, like I said, maybe there will be another player that emerges in China that level, like a 5090 level of a. I mean, that's a lot.
An impressive feat, right?
Yeah, yeah, because AMD is not even putting their hands in that high end anymore. So we'll see. But of course, it could be like a state-run Chinese company, right, that has like unlimited funding or whatever.
The resources,
yeah. So we'll see what happens there. Talking about NVIDIA graphics cards, Best Buy listed an RTX 5060, and it's not out yet, but it was listed at MSRP.
Whoops.
Which is, we've had this big discussion on this podcast about MSRP and how this card was listed. It was the PNY RTX 5060 overclocked edition, 8 gig at $299.99. I don't know if this was a mess up by Best Buy. Not sure.
I mean, probably, right? Like, it's their site.
Do you think at some point, we've had this whole runaround with MSRP, right? We've talked about it pretty much every week on this podcast, but where NVIDIA sets an MSRP and then nobody can make money selling the card at the MSRP. And it seems that many gamers, enthusiasts are really upset. They're either upset at NVIDIA for setting this MSRP or they're upset at the AIB because NVIDIA says it's $299, but the card's actually $349 or whatever, right? Do you think for this launch, maybe NVIDIA is like, okay, we're going to set an MSRP that's realistic for the AIB to make a card that they make money off of? Or do you think this MSRP is just same old, like maybe there'll be one card that you could possibly get maybe, and then everything else is $50 for MSRP again?
I think that's probably closer to what we're looking at. Now, it is interesting that this is the, like you kind of mentioned, the OC version, the overclocked. Yeah. But it looks to be a fairly basic designed card, right? You got two fans. Yeah. You're probably not getting any lighting on this thing.
No.
There's another look at it there. I mean, a two-slot card, a pretty basic all-around design with this. So I could see there being room for a MSRP-priced card. How much AIBs are going to make off of whether or not they have to offer a card at that price for a certain amount of time or just one model in general, that I guess is to be determined.
It's going to be an interesting launch for this card. May 19th is supposed to launch. So
a little bit of time here.
So we'll see.
Maybe we'll see someone else leak a product listing on their website and compare.
Yeah, but the thing about these product listings too, they like show up and then on launch day the price is $50 more or whatever too. So you got to take all this with a grain of salt. But it is nice to see. It gives us hope, right, that we can get a card at MSRP. If you're looking for a card at MSRP, that maybe it was listed there originally. So we'll see what happens now. Last week, we talked about Gigabyte RTX 50 cards using thermal gel and that thermal gel leaking. And last week, we said it's an isolated issue, at least currently. We're not going to talk about it unless it's, just like the melt gate with RTX 40 cards and RTX 50 cards. We had to talk about it because it kept on happening. Well, it's happening. More reports of Gigabyte cards leaking this thermal gel. And Gigabyte did put out a statement too, saying that it was like early production units that had this issue. But I mean, you can see like the gel is coming out here. There's a picture here where you can see the gel coming out. And to my knowledge, they are the only company that's using this thermal gel. It's one of those things. You have to see over time how many cards. I mean, again, this is like a handful of reports. It's not like there's 1,000 reports, but there are reports a bunch all over the Tech Power Up forums where people are seeing, like, you can see the gel just like moving.
Right.
And coming out.
I think this is one of those, okay, it happened to someone and they noticed it. So now people with these Gigabyte cards are looking to see if they're affected by it when they may not have been affected performance wise or stability wise or anything like that, but now they're gonna look and report, right? And there could be a lot more out there that have this, that for people that have bought it and don't pay attention to this type of news, that have this, right? Until we start seeing, kind of like we talked last week, like if this stuff starts running down into your PCIe slot,
well, not even that, I mean, you have like metal sitting on top of your,
right? Yeah, or you start to get performance hits, right? Because there's no thermal material between those two components, right? Then we're not gonna see it. But I don't know. Well, I guess like always, we'll just keep an eye on it and see if we get more and more reports of this.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I said, I in my mind, I'm like, whoever made this decision is kind of in trouble right now. But I mean, you would think that this had to been thoroughly tested, right? Because they made this decision to go from a normal thermal pad to this thermal gel. So yeah, it's one of those things. We'll just have to see down the line how many more reports there are, and maybe if they make the change to go back to some, if this continues to happen.
Did they get a bad batch of these pads, right? The initial batch for all their testing units and early samples were like no issue, and then like, you know, you end up with a bad mix or a bad batch of these that affects some. I don't know.
Yeah. But like you said, it could be an issue. It could be, again, you there's no thermal interface material between those two parts, which isn't a good thing. And then like this photo, I mean, it could come down into the PCIe slot, which is not good either. Right. So we'll see what happens with this. It could be nothing. Like I said, only a handful of reports, and those could be like the early cards that came out, or it could be like Meltgate where it's this really, really big thing. So we'll keep you guys updated on that. If you did buy an RTX 50 series graphics card, you can get Doom the Dark Ages for free. Until May 21st, Doom Dark Ages RTX 50 bundle. You get the premium edition of Doom the Dark Ages, which is $100 value, with the purchase of an RTX 5090, 5080, 5070 Ti, 5070 graphics card or laptop with a RTX 5090, 80, 70 Ti, and 70 GPU in it. So, nice. We get something, right? We get something for buying our graphics
cards. Bring back the bundles, right?
Yeah. So I have seen some of this game. It does look quite good. So like I said, we're always a fan of this. Remember, you used to get like 3 games, 4 games back in the day?
Yeah. You could kind of choose sometimes. Yeah.
But
like, this is a premium title. If it, you know, if it has $100 price tag attached to this, do we know what the premium gets you?
Is it maybe like some in-game like some content or something? I'm not sure. Yeah. Old man in the chat says, I've seen loose gel in a Gigabyte WinForce 5070 Ti card. That's not good. Yeah. Like I said, it's interesting to see this. You would think they would have tested, or maybe the batch that they tested was like a different mixture, as Ryan alluded to, than the final one, or vice versa or something like that. Because I would assume it's this thermal gel that it's a mixture, and then you're putting it on the components. I guess that's how that process would work. This is the one that he said, Gigabyte WinForce 5070 Ti. Like I said, it's one of those things, and I think if you'll see enough, you'll get like a, you know, you can RMA your card, or I'm not sure how that process would work or anything like that. Also on the Intel side, you know, Intel on graphics has been pretty quiet, kind of quiet. Yep. But it looks like Intel, their Battlemage B770 GPU is going to supposed to launch next quarter. This will compete on the same level as like an RTX 5060. You know, expected possibly to be unveiled at Computex or previewed at Computex coming up. As I always say with Intel, I'm a fan of competition. I think that, like I said, that performance level is a very popular, it's probably the largest band of gamers and consumers is going to be in that price level. So I like it. And having another, typically Intel has been pretty aggressive on pricing, and we've seen them work quite well on the driver as well. One of the biggest things we've seen over the years is like, oh yeah, like another competitor comes out, but like the driver never gets updated.
Right. Yeah. And they had some issues early on, but then they really worked hard to continuously improve that software. So,
yeah. So like I said, it's going to compete with the 5060 series, 64 XE core, 16 gigabytes of GDDR6. So it should be a good competitor. And again, that 16 gigs, again, that makes it viable for AI things too. If you want to run an LLM and mess around with all that kind of stuff, having the 16 gigs is good there as well. So if this does come out of Computex, I assume I'd see it there when we're at the show. So we'll definitely let you know. But definitely, like I said, Intel's been a little quiet, so we haven't seen a ton of leaks about it either. So we'll see what comes out of all of that. Old Man also said he had the issue with his Gigabyte. No issue with his Asus TUF 5070 Ti. Yeah, I love the TUF series from Asus. It's just like such a good, well-built card, and it just has that industrial look. I think the TUF series has been one of my favorites. I reviewed, which was it, a 5070 Ti that I reviewed? Or a 5070 TUF, one of the TUFs, and then last generation I reviewed an AMD TUF card, and it's just a really, Ryan, if you haven't really seen it, oh, you saw it at CES, the TUF card in person, but just like having it, it's just like
You looked at the 5070 OC edition TUF.
Yeah, TUF cards are nice. Talking about Asus, now they put out this interesting desktop, and I saw the release and I was like posting this up about it because it's a gaming desktop system. So Asus is going to sell a pre-built gaming desktop. So I'm like, okay, this is a gaming desktop, right? And I'm going through and I'm posting this and I see this main image. And then I look, I'm like, wait, oh, this is a render. Like maybe they just put the CPU cooler. And then I look here at this photo and I'm like, wait a minute, what motherboard is this? Like what? And then I look at the specs, and the interesting thing about this, you know, the big thing is they're like, oh, RTX 5060 Ti GPU, which is, you know, pretty good for like a pre-built and all of that. Then I'm like, wait a minute, Intel Core i7 1360 20H processor. So this is a mobile processor and a sort of like proprietary motherboard
layout. Yep.
We've seen this, and I mean, we've seen it from a ton of companies who do pre-builds. I'm just not a fan of it. One, because you can essentially only ever upgrade the graphics card, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe like your M.2, because it looks like there's an M.2.
Yeah, the M.2 slot there. Right here. Yeah.
And above it. Between the
I like having a laptop style CPU in a desktop.
I don't know what the advantage or the reasoning for going with that sort of,
I think size is, I don't think size, this right. is that
yeah, it's
think,
gonna be pretty small.
Yeah, I think it's a size thing, and maybe like a heating compatibility, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you can get away with cooling this thing with one fan, right?
Yeah. It doesn't need to be an AIO,
right?
You know, so like, I mean, the specs, you can get a Core i7 13620H or a Core i5 13420H, 5060 Ti. DDR5 up to 64 gigabytes, M.2 SSD, Wi-Fi 6. Yeah, I mean, it's a solid little gaming machine.
Yeah,
I just think
absolutely.
If you're somebody who's maybe getting into PC and then you get this and then like...
Well, yeah, hopefully you're not, yeah.
You know, there's so many people that bought like the Alienwares or the Dell gaming PC, especially the Alienware. And then they're like, oh yeah, like I'm going to upgrade it or I'm going to do this. And then they open it up and then it's like, it's not a normal it's not a motherboard, or you can't swap the motherboard or do what you want to do. That's my only concern with it. But like I said, it's a small little system. I don't know if we have pricing.
That's what I was going to ask is, yeah, what does pricing look like on this?
On it? I'm not sure. Or if it's even available for sale just yet. Yeah, I'm not sure. But like I said, it's a decent little machine. Usually when somebody gets a PC, I know so many friends that got like a pre-built, like they got a CyberPower or something. And then they're like, oh man, I'm upgrading it. I'm doing this or I'm building my own now, you know? So having something that's proprietary, I'm just not necessarily the biggest fan of, so. Talking about interesting cases, though, Cougar released this Omni X case, and I want to know your thoughts on this, Ryan, when it comes to airflow. So it's this sort of like open kind of case, right? But your motherboard gets mounted like different, like it, I'm yep. trying to find, yeah, it's like
on its side.
Yeah.
Like so, rotated counterclockwise.
Yeah. So your graphics card sits like this, which is very odd. It sits like this. And again, their whole idea is having airflow under and like through it. So you would still get that.
I think it's really, because if you look at the fan orientation, unless the fan blades are reversed, like the front and the back are set up here for intake. So they're pulling air in, and then they've got those three fans above the motherboard that are looking like they're exhaust. So you're like pulling air in from the sides, or I guess the front and back, and then pushing it out that side panel. And this does have a top to it, doesn't it? It's not open on top, right?
Yeah, it has glass on the top.
Okay. So yeah, I think you're pulling air in from the front and back and then pushing it out the side.
Old man asked, are they 120s or 140s? I'm going to their website to find out.
They look like they could be one, because they do look bigger.
But like, yeah, it's just like an interesting design. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I do like the cable management that was coming out the side of it.
Yeah, we'll show that in a second. So bigger fans.
Oh, 160s.
Pre-installed 160.
Okay, so they are, look at the blade orientation is different because they are showing front to back.
Yeah, so
yep, yeah, reverse and forward blade fans, it says. So.
Yeah. But the thing is, say down the line, right, you want to like put in some different fans. Like,
well, where are you getting 160s? Yeah.
But
Cougar, I guess.
The reason I wanted to say, like, this is very different, right? Every so often we see a different design. We saw one from Lee and Lee a little bit ago, which I reviewed, you know, and it's like, how effective is this? And again, they showed this with it this way. Like, what is the picture that shows like the graphics card that way? Like, can you orient this?
Well, you're essentially just doing either a normal or a vertical GPU mount, except you're in a different orientation to start with.
Yeah, because this one
that looks pretty cool though.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. And again, like you do essentially block like where you, if you have like an AIO with the screen on it, like it kind of gets blocked.
Yeah. Like even if you get like an AIO like the one I looked at, you know, like yeah, you orient the screen 90 degrees and
yeah,
that might be all right.
But the other cool thing is that because your motherboard is because your motherboard, all your connections are going to be like at the bottom. It has this really cool cable management that comes out either the back or the side.
Yeah, I like that.
Which is really, really cool. So yeah, that's interesting as well. So pretty interesting. Pricing, we have it at $139.99 with six fans.
Does it come with six? I think it just comes with four fans.
Four
160s. I don't think it comes with those other threes, because that'd be seven fans for 100. Like, that's how much you would pay for fans alone.
Yeah, because like these mounts are like 120s or 140. Actually, I'll look.
Yeah.
They have to have a spec thingy on here, right? SSD insulation at the back. I like that. Oh, they can get panels, different colors. Okay, so cooling supports. Yeah, 120s, three 120s. Pre-installed fans, yeah. So four 160s that you get pre-installed. So that's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to do good with airflow and...
Look at this
hub for everything as well.
And it supports back connect motherboards. I like this.
This could be a pretty sweet case.
Yeah, I mean... It does look kind of nice. Cable management, with the cable coming.
Well, like think of GPU sag too, right? Like you've now placed, like you may have some wobble, but not as, that's not as like concerning to me as sag
on a car. Maybe we'll get this into review. I might have to review this thing and see what it's all about.
Yeah.
Now, here's the interesting thing with this placement. What's the airflow for an air cooler, right?
Yeah, but think of any other case. Like, if you just did a bottom-to-top airflow design that didn't have fans at the back.
Yeah, I have to see. I think it's kind of cool. It's different. So we'll see. Maybe this will be the new design. We'll see if this design takes off. We'll have to see that. So, again, that's the Cougar OmniX. So,
yeah, I like that. Yeah. Especially that price. Seems good.
So, this next story, I lived through this entire story. So, back in the day when liquid cooling started on computers, Asetek held the patent for having a pump within the cooling block, and essentially you had to pay Asetek a royalty to come up with. And the massive lawsuit, the big lawsuit of all of this, was Cooler Master. Cooler Master, and it kind of like, man, how long ago was that, you think? 8 years, 7 years ago?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
It kind of pushed Cooler Master back a little bit, because that was a big lawsuit. They had to take a lot of product off the shelf. They had to redesign. They redesigned their AIOs completely. Yep. And the patent that Asetek holds just expired. So this patent for the pump within the block has expired, which essentially allows anybody to make their own design that has the pump within the block. Now, we have seen over the years people come up with designs where the pump is mounted in here. Yep. The pump is in the line. We've seen that. We've seen different designs. And we've seen Asetek revisions where they license it to a ton of different companies as well. You had to use this, like, the mounting hardware was the same on a lot of them because it was Asetek built. And I'm sure, Ryan, you've dealt with that over the years for a long time. It now seems that because this patent has run out, Asetek is trying to sell the company. I don't know if anybody wants to buy the company just because.
I think they could continue to innovate and license their product to companies that don't want to spend the R&D money that it takes to come up with your own design, right? They farm that, they do the work and then license it out to those companies, right? Yeah. So that's their income. It's cheaper for those companies to have a design. And
it also kind of like makes you wonder, like, will we see super cheap, inefficient, badly designed ones now, that have the pump in the block now, because they don't have to worry about patents, so they can just put out crap, you know?
Right. They can do whatever. Maybe.
Yeah. And old man in the chat says, I remember Swiftech having problems with Asetek. They designed their 240mm AIO to avoid Asetek's patent. Yeah. I mean, so many companies, that's what they did. They did do it to avoid the patent. And I think Cooler Master, like, initially, I don't remember, but we definitely covered it. Cooler Master tried to avoid it at some way, but Asetek for years was quite strict on their patent, and they went after a lot of companies to do that. And I think they went after Swiftech for a while too. You know, and it was a big thing within an industry for a very long time because, it was just like, and I think at the time I was like, Cooler Master could like go under because it was a really big lawsuit. It was a really, really big lawsuit at the time. And again, they had new product coming out, and then they had to like cancel all of this new product that was coming out. And there was a lot of issues within the industry because of it. So it will be interesting to see what this does for the cooling. And like, Ryan, you'll see some different players probably. Like, we always like people who don't make like or design their own AIOs, they always tell us, oh, this is like Asetek Gen 5 pump or Gen 5 right, design or right. whatever. So now, Ryan, you might see some other.
I don't know. I go know. Back to the whole like, do they want to spend that money to the for R&D for it?
Yeah.
Right? When you've had this relationship with a company. Now, of course, yeah, if they are looking to sell.
It definitely devalues the company.
Yes.
Because you don't hold the patent. You can't enforce it anymore. So somebody could essentially, like I said, just copy the design and put out their own. So yeah, quite interesting. I just remember all of that drama, all of it for you know, so for a very long time. There was a lot of drama with Asetek. So also on the ASUS side of things, some supposedly leaked images of the ROG Ally 2 have come out. Here's one of them. You see these pictures.
Got some fingerprints going on there.
Yeah. so I don't know if these are real. We don't know. And then there's a white one that looks very Xbox-ish. And we saw that teaser from ASUS a while back.
Yep.
That looks very Xbox-ish. So not sure. You know, I really wanted to see like an Xbox, like Xbox's own thing, right?
Right.
But it's more than likely just going to be an ROG Ally 2 that's skinned for Xbox or something. Supposed to feature Z2 Extreme, 64 gigabytes of RAM. It says the white version is with a lower spec chip.
That seems weird to like, you think you would want both colors available for your
maybe like the white one is the Xbox one, and like ASUS was like, yeah, like our one is gonna have the higher end chip, you know. But these have been great for whoever's making these. For the most part, these portable gaming consoles have been awesome. So having a new one, which hopefully we'll see at Computex, will be great, because Ryan and I always talk about this. Like, we don't play games like this anymore. Like, I don't have a commute, you know, where I'm sitting and I don't travel all that much. So I wouldn't use these, but I do think having that much power, just like the plague, is just awesome. I think it's really cool. And then like, they are pretty cool pieces of tech too. Like, if you're just a tech person, like we've both held and played with these, and we're like, this is actually a pretty cool little device, you know?
Yeah. When you think about how much hardware is in your hands compared to like a Game Boy used to be or something, right?
Yeah. It's
high refresh, high contrast.
Yeah. So also talking about gaming, right? GTA 6 was supposed to release at the end of this year, 2025. We saw the first trailer, and,
did you watch this next trailer that came out, though?
I did.
All right.
So first, before the second trailer came out, Rockstar announced that GTA 6 is going to be delayed to 2026, to May of 2026. At least they were ahead of it, like by a lot.
Not like a month out.
Yeah. I mean, there are people that are like, what's taking so long? There's also people that are like, well, if you want a good game, allow them the time to make the good game. What side are you on?
Man, it's been so long since we had GTA 5 that I'm pretty much on the point of like, what's taking them so long? You know?
Yeah.
Because it's been forever, and I don't know. I'm sure like as soon as this thing releases, they're probably going to start working on 7 if they're not already.
Yeah.
So
push back to May 2026.
Okay. God, I hope they release it all on all platforms at once.
Well, like, did you see the second trailer? Like, the second trailer is like in.
It was from the PS5.
And it was 60 FPS.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I would really hope we get it on PC. Do you think they'll release it on PC at the same time?
I hope. I really hope. I'd be curious to know what those sales numbers look like across all three platforms for like GTA 5. I'm sure you could find it somewhere.
Yeah. And we're at a different time though, too. I mean, back when GTA 5 came out, like PC wasn't as popular as it is now. Streaming wasn't as popular as like all that kind of stuff. So a little bit after that, like what, a couple days later, Rockstar did unveil the second GTA 6 trailer, which is quite good.
It is.
If you haven't seen it, we have it in the article. If you guys haven't seen it, gets me excited to play a single player game. The storyline looks good. It looked great too. Like the trailer looks good.
Yeah, it looks, the storyline, like from what you get out of it, seems all right. Kind of cool.
Yeah. It just makes me excited for like the GTA. Like I had, like, I remember when GTA 5 came out and like I played the story and I was like, this is fun.
Yeah.
Like, because again, you, especially nowadays, you're in like all the multiplayer. We go, we play multiplayer. But like sometimes you just like don't, you want to be in your own world. You want to just play a game and it's a good story and you feel like you're in the story. And GTA always did that, at least for me. Yeah. Man. May 2026. And again, that's right now. They're saying right now it's May 2026.
Yeah.
You know, you could, it could be like November 2025. Like, and they're like, yeah, it was May 2027.
I mean,
old,
I guess.
Old man in the chat, he says, there's speculation that the delay is to help with the PC release. So it may be hopeful thinking now. I would, yeah, I would rather wait to May 2026 if it comes out on PC at the same time.
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess this gives me time to actually finish the GTA 5 story because I didn't ever finish it. I notoriously never finish games.
I'm the same way.
But
yeah. But yeah, check out the trailer. It's awesome. So just get you excited, but then you're like, it's not a long time away. Games that are a lot of fun. Looks like there's going to be a Gears of War Reloaded coming out, launching this summer. And essentially it is Gears of War, but now you're getting 4K 120 FPS support on it. And it's going to be in celebration of the 20th anniversary of Gears of War. Do you play Gears of War?
Nope.
Also, awesome storyline. Awesome storyline.
Yeah. I know it was a super popular game. I'd never had an Xbox back in the day that, you know, played it because it's Xbox exclusive, right? So
I
never had an Xbox. So
do you realize we played at 1280 by 720 when this game came out?
I know. I was looking at that. I was like, holy cow.
Yeah. Really? So it's been upscaled to 4K, up to 120 FPS. Which would be so much fun to play. I would love to I would just wish I had this time. Somebody in the chat just asked, do you have a video on how to build an IQ Link 3500X case with 360 millimeter fans? The one that I did, the 3500X, mine had fans in it. It was the RGB version. So you mean with three 120 millimeter fans? Is that what you mean? I reviewed the RGB version that comes with the fans pre-mounted.
Yeah, so they're building for the first time and don't know exactly what they're doing. They put everything in the motherboard I have to put it in. It kind of depends on if you're, like Bob said, with the fans.
Did your case come with the fans? I feel like the fans are not the hard part because everything is pre-wired because it's the IQ Link fans, Ryan, the ones that just have the single connector. So, and it's all pre-run. You just have to run. I think you have to run power. You have to run power to the IQ Link controller and then connect the USB to your motherboard. No, it's not 360 millimeter fans. It's three 120s.
Which adds up to
300. Yeah. 360. Yeah. Let's.
Yeah, I pulled up the page for the...
Let's do this. Let's bring up... We'll do it live. We're doing it live.
Controller and I have two extra fans.
So, here we go.
What CPU cooler?
Are the fans that you have installed these ones right here that I'm showing you on the page? Are those already installed in the case? Those are the fans that come with it, the ones that are right here. We'll bring up another one. Hold on.
He says yes. Or they
say yeah. So those are pre-installed. So these are pre-installed, and then they're pre-wired to the controller. So if you, let's see, I gotta go to the second page. So you have your controller right here. So coming off of this controller, you have to make sure that's plugged into power, and I believe USB comes off of this. You have to plug that in. Ooh. He has the ROG Gen 3. Yeah, that's nice.
So that, yeah, that cooler won't connect up to this IQ controller or anything. It will.
Yeah, it runs on its own.
Has its own software and yeah. connections. So you won't. It won't chain into this platform. You can still use it in this case and build. It just doesn't connect to the IQ Link interface.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, what? So you put everything in. Did you turn? Is your system turning on? Like you have everything installed, your graphics card, everything. And it's just not booting, or?
Does the cooler go on top? Yeah, you can mount it on top, just like Bob did in this.
Yeah. So this. So you have the Ryogen, right? So I have a 360 millimeter AIO right here. You can see, so I mounted it just like this. So with the Asus, it's the same thing. You just mount it on the top, just like this. Let's see if we can get some better photos of the one that I did. So you can see that I mounted it right up here. Let me see if I have some pictures of it in the installation. So you can see. It's nice when you review a case, you can actually help somebody.
Yeah.
Who would have thought, right? But yeah, so it gets installed right on the top. You mount the radiator, which is this long part. Does that come with the fans pre-installed, Ryan?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. We reviewed that too, but okay. No, yeah. I mean, I just put everything that needs to go in. Oh, to go in the motherboard. Okay. Now I need to put it in the case, but I'm trying to find a video that has the same parts. Oh, gotcha. I mean, really it's putting, so you've got your CPU, your cooler mounted, or your CPU, your RAM, and your SSD. That can just slide right into the motherboard pretty easy. Don't make sure your cooler isn't attached to your motherboard yet, right? Because you want to do that after it's mounted inside. But really, it's a fairly easy process. I'm guessing your motherboard's new enough that it has a built-in IO shield, which is just the back with all your USB ports and everything. But really, that should just kind of, you just kind of hold it, set it there. You know, tip the case on its side so you can put the motherboard into the case flat, and then just line things up and push it to the back. Yeah, like in this picture, Bob's got the case on its side, right? So it's laid down. That way you can just set the motherboard in there flat and push it to the back. And so it should sit in there just like that. You know, he's got the motherboard, the CPU, and the RAM, and the SSD. That's essentially how yours should look at this point.
Yeah. And then you would mount the radiator up here, and then you would... Then after that, you would mount it onto your CPU. The Asus does have, like I said, if you check out the instructions, it should run you through it. But you want it to end up looking, you know, like this, right? With the AIO being connected and all of that.
And we have a review of that Ryogen 3 cooler. Actually, two reviews, because you had a version of it.
Yeah,
and I did as well. So which also have installation pictures on each of those as well, for installing that, which looks like Bob's gonna pull up here.
Oh wait, no, I didn't install mine in the case.
Oh, okay. Where do the two extra fans go that I bought? So you probably don't need, yeah, that's right there to the right,
this one.
And they are both 360 millimeter fans. Those 360 millimeter fans must be huge then, because
they're not three.
There's a 360 millimeter fan would be like, I don't even know how big. What is that like?
Yeah, that's
15 by 15. Or
yeah, no, that's not it.
It would be huge.
But yeah, this is what the cooler looks like fully installed in Ryan's system.
Right,
very so much the same.
That there is 360 millimeters worth of fans. but it's not.
If you want to install another fan, you could put the other fan in the rear here. You can also put a fan down here as well. And fans can be mounted on top of the power supply mounts if you want, but I would put a rear fan in and then I'd put the other fan right down here.
And have it, the rear fan being exhaust.
Yes.
And then the bottom fan being intake.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like I said, all of these components and even the case, they do come with insulation guide, and it will show you where things get placed and things like that. I know, like, be it first time, you're just like, where does this stuff go? You could even like YouTube 360 millimeter AIO installation in a case, and I would assume most people are installing it in the top so they can kind of show you how that goes as well. But yeah, pretty simple. It should end up looking very much like this. Like I said, your two extra fans, you can put one here and you can put one down there, but hopefully that helps. And
you could run it without those two extra fans, right? Like the fans that are here in the case on its own, you've got three intakes and you would have three exhaust for the using the radiator fans. Like that would be plenty for that case. You don't necessarily have to use the other two fans.
Yeah.
That you purchased.
But yeah, hopefully that helps. We can't necessarily do it fully live for you, but that should give you the best.
We also have a Discord that you could pop into. Like, you know, if you run into a roadblock still or can't figure it out, like throw some pictures into one of the like general chat or general chat's probably fine. You know, toss it into there and, you know, maybe we can help you. Something like that.
Yeah. Jump in our Discord. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Discord, that should drop you there. Let me bring up, I'll put it in the chat as well.
If you're overclocking the CPU, wouldn't you need extra? Not necessarily. No, they're not going to make enough of a difference. What would make a difference if you are overclocking the CPU is what speeds you're running the pump and fan at, to be honest.
Yeah. Let's, I dropped a Discord link in there, so you should be able to see it. But that's our Discord. If you want to jump in there, you can ask us questions too. But we do have to move on. I think we have one more story. Yeah, one more story. So we were talking about Gears of War, obviously Xbox. Microsoft has increased the prices of their Xbox because of tariffs. So $100 difference. In the Xbox Series X. So going from $499, Ryan, to $599. Dang. Yeah, it's expensive.
I know. It's kind of the same way with my 3D printers. Like they jumped over $100. But it's nice. The company's running a $100 coupon. Like the price is increased over $100, but they're running $100 off. And there was somebody on Facebook Marketplace I saw today that was selling one for like the same model I have, pretty new, for a really nice price, but it's like an hour drive away from me, and I just don't want to deal with the drive.
Yeah, but yeah, prices of stuff are. I think you're going to see it after Computex. There are going to be some more price things when it comes to tariffs and stuff. So that is the news for the week. As far as we have coming up next week, I'm taking a look at a case. Can't tell you about it till next week, but it's a new case, so. Definitely stay tuned for that. And then, Ryan, you're taking a look at a Corsair AIO. Which one are you taking a look at?
I forget the name of it. It's a pretty... It's not flashy. Like, I've looked at... like, last week was the Trix Panorama SE 360, right? Which has that curved LCD and everything.
It's the Nautilus RS, is it not?
Yes, yes.
This is this one.
Yeah, so it is not a flashy AIO by any means.
Yeah. So there's no lighting on it at all.
It's very straightforward. Yep.
Yeah. So a lot of people appreciate this look though.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to pay for lighting. You're not going to use, right. You're still getting the Corsair performance and the IQ
integration.
So yeah.
Yeah. So Ryan will have that next week. I will have a case review and so that brings us to the end. Question of the week. I mean, this is kind of like a given, but GTA 6, when it does come out, will you be purchasing? Yeah. If it's $100, will you purchase?
I don't know.
That's a rumor. It's going to be $100.
I'm going to have to buy if it was coming out like this fall, like we expected, I would have to buy another SSD or a larger drive because I'm almost out of space on my system. Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I never run out of space.
I've still got.
What do you have on there?
I still have 2.5-inch, you know, SATA SSDs in this thing.
But they should be like pretty high capacity, are they not?
They are.
I have all NVMEs. And I don't have like game. I have a couple games. I have like two games.
Well, you say high capacity. They're not. I mean, they're like terabyte each. So.
Oh yeah, same.
I probably have like 3.5 terabytes of storage on here total. But like, I have one. My secondary NVMe drive is just like I put all my raw video and like all my editing video on that. So like, that thing's full.
I use all these, and then I transfer stuff off to NAS. That's what I do.
And I put stuff on the NAS, but then I'm like, okay, I want to make sure that NAS has then backed up to the cloud, and I know it has, so I just need to clear stuff off, right?
Yeah. It becomes a thing.
It's a whole process.
Yeah, it's a whole process. Any other tech related stuff you want to talk about?
I don't think so. No, I haven't really done. I think I talked about this mouse that I got in. Did I talk about it last week? The HyperX Saga. It's got some 3D printing and just modularity to it. So you've got some different components that come with it, so you can swap pieces out. But they also are really leaning into 3D printing on it as well. So
nice. Yeah. Old man in the chat says, speaking of game consoles, I was looking at Craigslist and there are a ton of obvious scams. System being listed much lower than, but yeah, like I said, when times get tough, there's definitely scams, and there's always scams, but you see a lot of scams when it comes to a lot of GPU scams and stuff too. So just use your smarts. You should be able to see which ones are pretty unbelievable. So but yeah, guys, that is it. We're gonna go ahead and wrap things up. Of course, we are going to be continuing the stream over on Twitch. Ryan runs that stream. We're playing some games tonight. twitch.tv/syncomputers. So if you want to continue hanging out, that is where we'll be, and we'll see everybody next week.